Lecture 38, The Third Reich, Ideology and Domestic Policy.
In our last lecture, we examined the Gleichschaltung, the Nazi consolidation of power, its assumption of the reins of power in Germany, and its systematic moves to establish what would be seen as a totalitarian regime. In this lecture, I'd like to continue our discussion of the nature of totalitarianism and to examine the unfolding of National Socialist ideology once the regime had been consolidated at home. In 1934-35, one sees very clearly emerging what was the central core of National Socialist ideology, and that would be race. That would take some Germans by surprise, since among anti-Semitism, Nazi racial policy had been one of a number of appeals that the party had made before 1933, only one of its 25 planks in its platform, and yet it would emerge as the central pillar of National Socialist ideology in the 1930s. So we'll begin with this examination of totalitarianism and then trace the evolution of Nazi domestic policy, particularly racial policy, down to the outbreak of the war. The regime had instituted in 1933-34 a system of terror, a means of controlling the population, a secret police, the Gestapo, a short for Geheime Staatspolizei, or secret state police, established to ferret out opposition, potential sources of resistance to the regime, subversion, antisocial behavior, as the National Socialists referred to it. A person, as we've seen, could be arrested for subjective crimes, what he or she thought at home, as well as objective crimes, things that were done in public. The goal of the regime in many respects was not simply to break resistance. This had been actually successfully done. The labor unions broken, the church coordinated by the middle of the 1930s. The system of terror that would be established, the use of the secret police, the Gestapo, of secret of people who would denounce their neighbors, really was to internalize fear, to create a sort of insecurity among the population. The Nazis used a number of techniques to do this, experimenting, borrowing in some cases from the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union. For example, they used something called Sippenhaft, whereby if one person in a family was engaged in some sort of activities, anti-government activities, made anti-regime statements, not only would that person be arrested, but in all likelihood, his or her, his wife, children, aunts, uncles, possibly neighbors. What the Nazis realized was that there were indeed very brave people out there who would take action against the regime, even if it meant throwing their life away, or that they would disappear into a Nazi prison or into one of these new institutions that were established, the concentration camps in Germany. But there were very few people who would be willing to see all of their family disappear into these things as well. So the arrest of entire families for the crimes of one family member, Sippenhaft, they called it, was an effective, a particularly effective way of discouraging resistance activities or even oppositional activities to the regime. Every block, every neighborhood in Germany had what was called a Blockwart, a person who was charged with watching over the activities of all the people on her floor of the building in the major cities and big apartment houses or on a block in a small town. That person would go around from door to door in the hallways of an apartment building, listening on the night when the Führer was to give a speech to see whether the inhabitants of this apartment were listening to the speech, to note whether or not that family put out its flag on the Führer birthday or on the anniversary of the beer hall putsch in November, or whether that person gave generously to the various Nazi charities.